Why did you decide to retire?
I had a crazy moment. I had an absolutely crazy moment. Let me tell you about that. You never tell a sooner what they can't do. I have to put that in perspective. I had a really good shot of becoming the next CEO of a Fortune 5 company. In fact, some outside investors came and said, we want you to be the next CEO of LyondellBasell. It's in bankruptcy. It's got over $20 billion in debt. I think its maximum debt load was about $24 billion. Second largest bankruptcy in America. General Motors was number one. This was a wreck of a company. Mergers that had failed, terrible cost structure, dead last in financial return, 9 out of the last 10 years of the decade, just a massive failure of epic proportions, and probably no good way out. Employees streaming out the door. First, a gentleman named Len Blavatnik called me. I thought he wanted to do an oil deal. He was one of the owners of BP TNK. Of the TNK part, they call him Russian oligarchs. He's not an oligarch, but he's one of the Russian owners of the TNK part, a very wealthy man. He bought Basell, which was BASF and Shell's chemical businesses merged, and he used that to buy Lyondell, another chemical company. He did it all with debt. And then 2009 happened, and the company collapsed. But it was a poorly managed company, a poor return company, good size, but just not much good to say about that company. I used to compete against that company before it merged, against Basell and against Lyondell when I was at Chevron Phillips. They were not competitive. Neither one was competitive. So when they called and said, we want you to be CEO, I thought he wanted to do an oil deal. But he started out the conversation this way. He doesn't say hello or anything. He's got a heavy Russian accent. My assistant says, there's a gentleman named Len Blavatnik wants to speak with you on the phone. Would you like to take the call? I said, oh, yeah, he's a TNK guy. I think he wants to do a deal with us in former Soviet Union. Yeah, we'd look at that. Let me talk to him. Picked up the phone, heavy Russian accent on the other side. My name is Len Blavatnik. You're coming to work for me.
Just like that.
That's all it was. My name is Len Blavatnik. You're coming to work for me. And I started laughing. I said, Len, I've never met you before, but why would I come to work for you? I love this company. I've been here 29 years doing well. What is this all about? He said, I want you to come run LyondellBasell. I literally laughed and said, no way. Just no way. And he said, well, why do you say no way? I haven't even told you what the offer is. I said, no way. You got some bankruptcy. It's a mess of a company. There's no way I'm interested. And I love the company I'm working for. Impossible. He could see I was very serious. Just no way. He said, well, it's in bankruptcy. I own all of it. I lost all of it. I'll never get it back, but I made some mistakes. I owe it to people to try to fix it. I probably won't even be a shareholder on the other side, but I have to find a new CEO. We got to get it out of the bankruptcy. Would you at least meet with me when you're in New York next time and talk to me about people in the industry? I said, well, would you consider selling part of that to Chevron Phillips? I don't know, but I'd like to talk to you about it. So I said, okay. So I showed up in New York probably a month later. I was making a speech in an analyst conference, and I called him the week before and said, I'm going to be in New York on this day. Will you be in the city? And if so, you want to have coffee that day, and I'll talk to you a little bit about your company and some of the people in the industry. Oh, yes, yes. After I speak, I show up in his office. He's got the board of directors there. I said, what is this all about? He says, well, we're interviewing you for the job. I said, Len, I told you categorically no. Anyway, he said, well, just talk to us, answer a few questions. So I did, and afterwards he said, we want to hire you. I said, no. Anyway, so very persistent guy, call. And at one point he said, well, you're probably the wrong guy anyway. You work for a big oil company, you probably couldn't do it anyway. I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, you're a big oil company guy, you can't fix a bankrupt company. You have all these people around you, you got corporate jets, you got this, you got that, you can't run this company anyway. I said, well, wait a minute. What do you mean I can't run this company? Well, you're the wrong guy. He shouldn't have said that to me, because that made me angry a little bit.
Do you think he was smart enough to know what he was doing?
I don't know if he was or not, but of course I could run that company. And I said, okay, I'll talk to you another time. highly unlikely, but, you know, I'll talk to you. So I told the chairman, who's a good friend of mine, Jim Mulvey. I said, Jim, I'm going to go talk to these guys about this company. And he said, you're not serious. You're the most loyal person in this whole company. You helped us create this company. You love this company like I love it. What would you ever do this for? So anyway, long story short, Jim comes and says, we want you to stay. The board will tell you, we'll guarantee you, you'll be president of this Fortune 5 company. Why would you ever go to a bankrupt company and help them? The answer was the challenge, just the extreme challenge of it all. You know, you get up in the morning and you wonder if you have another day in business. You're sitting there with 17,000 employees' jobs at stake, and their pensions at stake, and their total future. You know, the ones that had left. And can we solve that problem? I didn't leave ConocoPhillips because I didn't want to be there. I truly did, and I very much was excited about the future there. I helped create a Fortune 5 company, and it was hard to leave. But it wasn't the challenge. So I got up, took that job, formed a new team. And the very first day I sat down, Len Blavatnik was there. We did a call with all employees around the world. And I said, my name's Jim Gallagly. I learned that from Len Blavatnik. You start and tell him your name, especially if it's hard to pronounce. My name's Jim Gallagly. And I didn't come here to help you exit bankruptcy. That's easy. We'll do that very quickly before you can blink. We're going to turn LyondellBasell into the number one petrochemical company in the world. Those of you who have the will to help me get that done will stay here. And those of you who don't have that desire, don't have that energy, leave today. Leave this hour. Leave this company. We're on a mission to go from worst to first. And we will make that happen before you can blink. Everybody will tell you why it can't be done. And I'm going to tell you right now, here at this moment, that's exactly what we're going to do. Either get on board or get the heck out of here. That was that first conversation. A few left, but most of them stayed to see what this crazy guy was going to have for a plan to take us from worst to first. And this is a company with over $20 billion of debt, no future. And those employees got on board. It was a brilliant, brilliant story that they created. I'd love to say that was me, but they took their company back.
Well, they caught your spirit.
You know, that's one thing I always had, was a lot of spirit. And you have to have ambition. You can't tell people that our ambition is to get out of bankruptcy and expect them to get excited about it. But if you say, people will write books about this effort that we're going to be making in the next year or two. They're going to write books about what we accomplish as a group. And it will be a story that will forever be told on Wall Street, what we do now.
So it became what?
We became the best petrochemical company in the world. We were one of the largest petrochemical companies in the world. But we had the number one return, the best safety record, the best operating dynamics, the best everything. We were known as the number one private equity deal of all time, the number one turnaround story on Wall Street, and Len Blavatnik's reinvestment, I think it was Forbes or Fortune, I can't remember which one, wrote an article about his buying back in at 1% and then gradually buying more of the stock. They said that was the number one investment in Wall Street history, too. So it was one for the ages. We took the stock price from $17 and change coming out of bankruptcy. 4 years later, $115 a share.
Wow.
And paid, I forget, $5, $6 billion of special dividends. It was a massive, fabulous turnaround of a company.
And that was in Houston, Texas.
Texas, but we were a Dutch company. The amazing thing is this wasn't just an industry getting better. Dow Chemical was our biggest competitor. We were much smaller than them. We almost passed them in market cap. Their stock price was flatlined through that period of time, and we were going up like a rocket in the same business. We almost passed them in market value in 4 years. If I would have delayed announcing my retirement for 30 days, we would have passed them because our trajectory was such, it was just a straight line. We were only $250 million less in market cap before I announced retirement. The reason I bring that up is because our share price fell about $10 billion equity after I announced retirement, because people didn't realize it wasn't just me. It was all these 13,000 employees. Well, the stock prices come back up and people have figured out, okay, I'm a person who has a lot of energy and a lot of spirit, but we had a lot of great employees and they're the ones that turned their company around.
Yeah.
So it all came back.
a book could be written about that whole story.
It certainly could. And maybe we will.
Yeah, that'd be good, because a lot of business people would like to read that story.